Good morning. Welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for the latter part of June. We are going to talk this morning, we're going to go ahead and launch in and talk a little bit more about the Orlando shooting and kind of some of the week's news and how that's played out. And we'll probably also be brave and talk about guns. And if we have time, we'll talk about women being drafted, and I'm sure that we'll have a really enjoyable time because these are all fun topics. So what would you like to talk about first?
I thought we were going to talk about the theme going on in various social media circles, that those who disagree with same-sex quote-unquote marriage or same-sex sexual behavior have no ground to mourn the death of the 50 or 49 people who were killed in the nightclub last week. And did you have someone comment on your blog to say that? Or
I got a lot of angry comments that I didn't put up, and I did have somebody say, well, you do bear responsibility for this because you're Christian.
Right, and because the idea is that those who disagree with homosexual behavior have created a quote-unquote climate
of hate
and violence, and that this was the outflow. And just to go there, you have to immediately decide to blank out all the evidence for who this person was. A Muslim committed to ISIS, and also someone who himself seems to have been engaged in some kinds of homosexual
behavior,
flirting with some homosexuality at least,
and a registered Democrat. We did learn
and
that.
A registered Democrat, right? Who shot people in a quote unquote gun free zone? All bars are gun free zones in Florida. And so this is another. This guy is like the perfect liberal. He's a aside from his Islam, which is not necessarily the liberal faith. Although we talked about how
there's a interesting political liberals marriage between the two,
and there's an interesting alliance between the two. He's apparently gay, and he.
Well, I'm glad he didn't shoot up Disneyland. I'm not glad
he's a Democrat, right?
He would have been staking out Disneyland. I'm sorry. I'm not glad that he shot up the nightclub. But he wasn't necessarily thinking of gay targeting. Mm-hmm. That it was just a place that he knew. Is what I read somewhere. Mm-hmm. But the thing that interested me was the various cries that Christians are not allowed to express grief over the death of people who maybe are living in a way that a Christian might not agree with. And I do think that that's a really tragic thing, because in Christianity, we actually don't desire the death of anyone. God says that. I don't desire the death of the wicked. And that counts everybody, because everybody is wicked. And that's a really hard truth. No one is good. So, of course, the Christian doesn't rejoice when somebody dies, anybody dies, and it's not, and it should be okay to mourn when people die. I was just discouraged by that.
In our culture, though, the connection has been made between what you do and who you are. If you decide that you want to have gay sex, then you are that defines who you are as a person. And anyone who disagrees with your behavior then hates not just what you've done, it's not just they disapprove of what you've done. They don't like you.
Yeah.
They hate you.
The substance of who you are.
And that is a new thing. Culturally, before, people were able to disagree with one another's behavior, decisions, attitudes, walks of ways of living, and no one took it as a personal
attack. And have some compassion for the humanity of the person.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Islam is a horrific, demonic religion.
But I don't desire the death of Muslim people.
Exactly. Exactly. I would rather they turn to Jesus Christ.
And I desire them to live in time and place now, but I also desire them to live forever. I think that's the greatest tragedy.
I think adultery is wrong. Right. But if an adulterer gets killed, I don't rejoice. We're not happy about that. That's a sad, sorrowful thing, especially given... I don't know what the spiritual state of the people in this bar was, but I mean, I can imagine that most of them, I don't know, but most of them did not know Jesus Christ, and that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, so that's the grief, is the separation of God from God, of the human person beyond death. I think that's, and I know that we're not allowed to say that, we're not to talk about the human person after they die, what happens to them, sorry, my voice is in trouble today. But it's utterly tragic. Yeah. I mean, because human people were not made to die, and they were not made to be separated from God forever. And yet those two things are things that we are supposed to embrace and enjoy, I guess, now as Christians. And I reject that utterly. I just...
Embrace and enjoy what? The
Christian, because they don't agree with homosexuality, must rejoice over the death of gay people and probably is happy that they would all go to hell. And that's who we are, and that's what we need to embrace. And I say, no, I don't have that. I'm not rejoicing. I'm grieved. I'm sorrowful.
Yeah, and some are saying don't even pray for the families who are behind, because it's false. You don't really care about them. You don't really care about the
families. Right, so there was this prayer shaming is the new thing, which is, again, so ugly, so bitter, that hashtag on Twitter. I felt physically unwell when I read some of that, because actually praying is all we have.
Right.
We can... Right. Appeal to God to have mercy, and that's a good thing to do. You know, we should do that, and there should not be shame.
Shame is a good word, because what the attempt is now see what happened, you wicked haters.
You caused this.
Why don't
this.
You change your mind about things, and this won't happen again?
Yeah.
Which
is also really alarming, because, and it plays into the gun debate, if you cannot accept that human beings are wicked and evil, then you cannot have any sanity in any kind of discussion about anything.
There's always got to be a search for some cause.
Right.
So is it society? Is it Christian attitudes? Is it this or is it that? And you're going to find many different secondary causes for why certain things happen, but ultimately the ultimate cause for all evil and terror and
brutality
in the world is that we are fallen people.
And if you're not allowed to say that, then you can't, then there's no sanity anywhere in the public realm.
Right.
Which is what we're seeing.
Right. And yet we can also see, and this is the secular mind is having such a hard time wrapping itself around this very basic Christian teaching that's been around for
more than 2,000 years, though.
That though all humanity is sinful, we still love and are called to love ourselves as sinners and others who are sinners. Saying that we're sinners does not mean that we are not worthy of being loved and that mercy is something we cannot and should not give. In fact, quite the opposite. Because we're sinners, mercy is the only thing we can hope for. We must not hope for justice, but we must hope for mercy, and we must give mercy because we've received it from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and God is merciful. I mean, God.
That's why He sent His Son to
abandon
die.
Us in the midst of our brutality. He doesn't just leave us to die forever. He interferes and it's so basic, and it's such a great and vast truth. That it's really ugly and tragic to have that particular doctrine maligned so angrily in public, I think.
Right.
yeah.
I think part of it I do think is growing ignorance about what Christianity is. Even 50 or 60 years ago, people may not have all been, they weren't all Christians, of course. The country was, I don't think was ever really a quote-unquote Christian country. But people had a basic working knowledge of what the gospel is.
Or that human people are dignified. I think the Christianity has an influence in the culture that dignifies human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see something brutal and ugly, there's a cultural response of rejection,
mm-hmm,
towards that. And so even though people might not, cling to Jesus for their eternal lives, they would see a hardness,
right,
and reject that culturally. And that's gone.
Yeah.
That's not there anymore.
Right.
The human person is not a dignified being worthy of care and attention and truth.
Right.
The human person is reduced to a bunch of bodily urges and feelings.
Right.
The human person is something that can be brutalized.
That's what you're here for, is to please yourself. And if anything gets in the way of your self-pleasure, then that is somehow inhibiting your flourishing.
Yeah.
So you're right. We've eradicated, or we've begun to eradicate the impact of Christianity, the impact that Christianity has had in the country for the last
200 years. The culture. The West,
right. And so in its place, all that there is the religion of self-pleasure. And
that's low. That's base.
And if you have a bunch
irrational.
Of people, and you have millions of people seeking to be pleased, then you have millions of people in one way or another using
all the other people,
and of course society is going to become coarse and brutal and cruel and sick.
So. Yeah.
Now, the second part of this was, the immediate, I couldn't watch TV, I couldn't read the internet, especially on the day after this took place, because it was just this immediate jump from, okay, there's been a mass shooting, Christians are at fault, and gun owners are at fault.
Yeah.
Again, despite the fact this guy was a Muslim, shooting in a gun-free zone, and he had
registered
immigrant, right? Who swore allegiance before the thing to ISIS. And no one wanted to talk about that. That's a separate.
It can't be ISIS. It can't be that he's embraced a murderous ideology that debases human beings and destroys them. Right. We can't have that.
And people were outraged at the Christians. Outraged at
that was interesting. The level of rage at Christianity
because a Muslim shot up a gay bar.
Yeah, that's so irrational.
And then outraged at people with guns.
Yeah.
Because one man with a gun shot 50 unarmed people.
Yeah. I was really encouraged, though. I did see on Facebook this week some memes where it had the rainbow flag, and then it had the don't tread on me snake.
Yeah, yeah, so
that. And then it said something like, go arm yourself.
Right.
And I thought, that indicates some kind of, if you want to protect yourself and have self-defense, then you're maybe not as sort of culturally suicidal. The person who just lays down and says, let me be killed, I don't care.
We're moving on to the gun control question, there is a sense that, whenever these conversations come up, you have people comparing the United States, gun violence in the United States with, say, England or Norway or a European country. And they say, well, look, they have very strict gun laws there, and look at the level of gun violence they have and how much lower it is than ours.
Except that a British MP was just brutally killed with a gun.
But still, statistically, it's lower. But that comparison ignores two things, I think. One, England is an island. Europe in general is fairly homogeneous, culturally speaking.
Not anymore.
Whereas United States, we've got just lots of different ethnicities and cultures mixed together, and we have, which is fun, which is great, but we also have a porous border with Mexico, which is essentially, at least in the border areas, run by drug cartels. So let's just say you succeeded in removing or enforcing and strengthening the gun laws in this country. And then maybe even, let's say, in the utopian dream of the left, you managed to get every citizen to turn in willingly his or her weapons. What's going to happen? Well, then you would still have weapons pouring into this country illegally, being bought and sold in the black market, and you would have criminals armed to the teeth and citizens without the ability to defend themselves.
Well, and you're making the law-abiding citizenry depend on the government,
right,
to care for them in times of peril.
So what do you do if someone's stalking you with a weapon? Well, you call the police and wait 30 minutes and hope that the...
and hope for the best. And in a very brutal, an increasingly brutalized culture...
Right.
I find that an extraordinary hope that the police would arrive, that they would care, that they... I mean, I think they would get there if they could, but they're not big enough, but unless, which I do think is part of the thing, we increasingly militarize our police, which I think the left would like to do. They think, let's have the police have more and more guns, and then they have more and more power. I'm not really cool with that.
No, I mean, the Second Amendment, the purpose behind the Second Amendment wasn't to help. I mean, sometimes you hear people asking, why do you need an AR-15 to hunt? And
well,
the purpose of the Second Amendment is not for hunters. It's for the defense. It's for the civilians to be able to defend themselves against a tyrannical state.
Yeah.
And so, we need...
it makes it totally understandable why the left wouldn't want...
Because they want a tyrannical state, right? Exactly. 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 Speaking biblically, though, I mean, it's a Christian man's responsibility to protect his family and to protect the weak in general, and I think we're at the point now where without a weapon, without a man owning and being trained in the use of a weapon to defend his family and to defend the weak and being able to carry that weapon, that responsibility is something that's unable to be fulfilled. Because
of the way things are.
Right.
Which I do think there's, again, I think people have this blind ideal of a utopia where people are good. Some people, or there's a group of people who are good.
Right.
And I would say, as a Christian, I reject that. We have to deal in reality. And the reality is that all people are wicked. Some people who are wicked in their souls, but who are restrained by common grace, should take up arms to defend the weak against those who God is not restraining by common grace, and who's letting he for his own purposes has not restrained ISIS and all murderers. He uses some people to restrain other people because there's no utopia. We are all wicked, and the idea that we're not all wicked and that we can all just, if we just put down our guns, ISIS will put down theirs.
But
that's foolish to think that.
I mentioned a minute ago the statistics showing less gun violence in nations in Europe and more in the United States. However, if you can, and I said why those comparisons are so wrongheaded. But if you take just the domestic statistics and you look at heavily gun-controlled states and regions versus those that have passed concealed carry or open carry laws, you see that those that have done that have had a massive reduction in gun violence and crime. Texas, for example, people here are armed to the teeth.
Right? Yeah, you don't mess around.
And what that does is it creates fear in the heart of a person who is thinking about committing some kind of crime with a weapon. If I think most it's just common sense that if you were deciding between if you had all the states lined up and you think, oh, now which one do I want to go and commit a mass shooting in? Which one do I want to go murder somebody and shoot? Which one do I want to go shoot up a restaurant in? Texas, where chances are you walk into any restaurant and you're going to have, you know, 10, 15 people maybe with with weapons, or, you know, Washington, D.C., where you have the strictest gun control laws in the United States. I think the vast majority of criminals would say, let's go to D.C.
Yeah.
Let's do it there. It makes perfect sense. People think twice in Texas before they do that kind of thing, because they know that they're just as likely to be shot and killed before they get one.
Well, and not only so, but you also have just a sort of a great deal more respect and politeness. People are a little bit
less incendiary
when they greet one another. You nod and say hello, and you're friendly and kind, and you are very respectful to everyone because you want to show that you're not an alarming, brutal jerk with a gun, because some very nice people also have guns, so they're not gonna, you know, and they're not gonna mess around.
Right.
Whereas the helplessness of a whole, you know,
and then the virtue signaling of putting out signs, gun-free zone.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's the stupidest. I'm sorry, that was. It's the most
foolish
thing any business owner could do. Gun freeze. Well, that's an advertisement to someone with a weapon.
A crazy person.
It's a soft target. There you go. I think there was a movement in Hollywood, trying to get started. Hollywood celebrities putting a red light in your front porch to signal that your home is a gun-free home.
Oh my gosh. But you know,
which is again, it's hard for me to fathom the asininity. Is that a word?
It is now.
Asinine. I wasn't talking about the, that is the most foolish.
Well,
thing
and any it's hypocritical because a lot of Hollywood people have security details.
Right.
So they
have
other people.
Yeah, you
have
your own personal security detail.
Hold a gun, you know, to protect them from crazies.
Right.
Because they know on some level that there are crazies. And I think that's one thing that is discouraging is the unwillingness to acknowledge that there are crazies out there who, and it's not enough just to try to take. They're going to get the gun no matter what you do, they're going to acquire one.
Right.
And if you, if you're realistic about that, I think you change the way that you're thinking.
Right.
And that's why I was discouraged about the Orlando thing, because the sudden leap towards gun control and the evil Christian, indicates very strongly that nobody cares for the gay community. We actually don't care. We're willing for them to be just, you know, killed along with the children and the disabled.
Right.
And I thought, wrongly, I guess, that we thought that community was really important and valuable to our society. So I don't understand. Why wouldn't we actually
want their self-defense?
But I'm wrong to notice that. And I actually don't I do not desire the summary death of the gay community. I think that's appalling. I don't.
Yeah.
So they should be allowed to have self-defense along with everyone else in a world that is violent, brutal, filled with evil.
Right.
Words fail me.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Speaking of brutality and coarsening, the Senate passed a bill calling for
the draft,
the conscription
of women.
Females.
But do they have the draft for men? Like, you have to sign up for...
It's conscription. Yeah, you have to register for the draft.
When
you're 17, all men do.
Okay.
And that enables, if there were a massive war, the draft
which
could be...
Which we're probably going to have. Let's
reenacted.
Let's
and
be...
And you could be called up. And I think I'm 44, so I think that's the last. They wouldn't call me up until things get really
bad. Oh, that's great.
Really bad, but I had to do that when I was 17, and you know, lots of things in the society depend on you being registered. If you're not registered, you can't vote. You can't. There's lots of legal things that depend on you being a registered for the draft, and that would be then enacted for our daughters.
That's so great. Wow.
So lots of things that are open to people in society would not be open to them unless they were registered. Right. And
could they go to jail?
The men, God designed men. He gave them muscles. He gave them aggressiveness. He gave them assertiveness. And he gave them a kind of boldness for the purpose of defending their wives and children. And any time a society puts women in a place purposefully where they become the ones responsible for their own defense, it's a coarsening and it's undermining God's designed order of things. Now, people, when we talk like this, point to Israel, where women are armed and set.
They don't put them on the front lines, though.
They don't purposely put them on the front lines. That's true. They're not in the. They are conscripted, but again, you're comparing apples to oranges, because Israel is surrounded on all sides by hostile enemies who want to kill them. So,
and I think it's useful for the women to be able to defend themselves.
So for example, if we lived in a castle that was surrounded and under siege by violent enemies who wanted to kill not just us but our women, we would definitely want to arm them.
Yeah.
so they could defend themselves. Yeah, so that's a different.
I'm not against the arming of women. I think women can be armed just as well as men can.
Right. Well, there's two issues here. There's one, the conscription issue, but also the move to put women in combat arms. Those are two different issues that are connected, but two different issues. Conscription, I think, now that we have women able to serve in combat arms, that makes conscription even more insidious and problematic, because then you have the potential of women being drafted and sent directly into combat,
that's just insane. It's utterly insane.
It's on a moral level, it's insane, because it undermines God's design. On just a practical level too, women in combat arms, I don't think people understand the difficulty that war brings, or even just training brings to the female body.
Yeah.
Out, away from sanitary conditions, carrying equipment that far exceeds what women are built to carry, being in places where it's very difficult for a woman, it will be impossible, I think, for a woman to remain hygienically clean. You're stuck in extreme situations with people of the opposite sex, and it's
just horrible.
Right.
Well, and it's again, I really feel like words are failing me today. The woman's body is built to withstand really the trauma of childbirth, which is a big thing, and it's an important element of human society.
It's the reason there is
human there society. It is there's she can withstand pain, she can endure, she has a strength, a certain kind of strength that comes or that's there when she needs to give birth and give life into the world. So it's not to say that women are weak somehow and shouldn't be, you know, glorified by war. It's to say that there's two different functions. And I understand that this is very hateful to say this, because men and women, what is gender, you know?
Right.
If you identify as a man, then
take that 75-pound rucksack and
go for it. I love the
rifle and head out.
Young boys who are identifying as girls so they can go and run track and win easily.
We should get a bunch of men, really good male basketball players, to self-identify as females.
So they can
get a female basketball. Well, if team, they do, yeah. Send them to the Olympics and.
There you are. There you are. It's great. It makes the game a lot more exciting, I guess. I don't what it, so it's insane. I mean, I feel stupid for pointing that out. But so my question is, do they, the Senate passed this. Mm-hmm. What else has to happen?
Well, like the House passed a bill that was similar, but they excluded that provision for the female draft and or female registration. So they're going to have to get together and decide how to send a unified bill forward
to make the president.
Right.
He will certainly sign whatever they send.
Right. Well, he threatened a veto because of some other provisions in the bill, but he wouldn't veto because of this. He would veto because of something else. So we need to pray that the Congress together does, you know, takes out that this provision. There are some really hefty powers against it. But you know, if it passes, my daughters will not be registered.
Well, how do you?
This is a point.
Who goes to jail then? Do you go to jail? I asked this before. Do they go to jail?
I think we all do. I mean,
we all go to jail.
This is a legitimate self. Or this is a legitimate cause for civil disobedience. Because peaceful. Obeying this law is to disobey God, I think.
Just like all the other ones, like. Yeah. Same-sex marriage.
Right, right.
What are all the other ones? I can't remember what they are. We did go to Target. The children were really alarmed.
I didn't go. You went.
I went to Target with the children, and they were very, like, we went to some other store first, and they made sure that all of them, they together decided they would all use the restroom at this other store.
Good.
So that when they went to Target, they wouldn't have to go.
Good.
And they walked around in a... Well, they're kind of jerks about it, but they were they were on the lookout for, you know, crazy people. So I told
them you don't have to be crazy. You just
I told them not to be so bigoted, and how far in are we?
We are close to the end.
Because I'm going to take this call while you end the.
You're really taking a call during our...
Yes, I am, because it's a very important call.
Oh, it's long distance, yeah. I see. Okay. Well, this has been Preventing Grace podcast, and this will be one of the several that we're going to be recording at one time over the next few weeks because we're both traveling, and I'm headed back to New York. I'll be there next week, and Anne is headed to California to see her grandparents, which is a wonderful opportunity for her. She'll take the kids with her. So we'll be recording and sending more podcasts up next Saturday that have been pre-recorded. Thank you.